welcome back to our fourth week of the Journey of Awakening. We're going further into The Eye of the Storm, the beautiful book that Gary Simmons wrote. And so many of you are joined in the in-home study groups. How many of you are in a group? Fabulous. So we have close to 100 people in those groups. And I had 12 facilitators stepped in my office at 11 o'clock, just talking and buzzing about how great the groups are going. So good work. Thank you for saying yes to this journey with me. I am all about a purpose and a mission. And my purpose and mission is about transforming lives one heart at a time. So that's what we're going to be about while I'm here. That'll be our theme. That'll be our focus of how to awaken. And so it's not an easy road. I say that with a smile, right? But it is one that I know you said yes to, because we're all here together, and that it's a road that awakens us, and that really what I know is the soul is not here to discover ease and comfort. Now you tell me, you didn't know you signed up for that, right? But isn't it funny how when we're not eased, when there's not ease or there's not comfort, we sort of want to bolt or run or say, this isn't the what I signed up for. So it is. It's the journey that we're on together. So we continue with this great teaching. Last week we talked about the four winds of conflict, and these winds are conditions that support a storm. And the conditions are separation. Remember we talked about separation and about how we feel alone or removed from God or from others. And when that happens, we begin to make you or God wrong. And so that's where that enemy image comes in, is that we're separating from each other. It's also about misperception. Talked a little bit about that last week, and about the story of the Pope and Moshe and how they reinterpreted the story. And the lighthouse, and about how we have this thing about competition and defensiveness and how we need to be right. Anybody remember that? Yeah, right. So it's not our finest moments, right? So part of these are sort of embracing our humans so we can express more of our divine self, and move away from needing to be right to needing to connect more. So one of the first attributes of wholeness now is communion. So when we look at separation, the antidote to separation is communion, is connection. And so we talked about that last week, and it's a this idea of communing with God and with others. So misperception today, we're going to be talking about the antidote to misperception is principle. Principle is seeing truthfully with the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the heart. Rumi said, when I believe I am all alone, when I believe something has power, oh, that's not the quote, sorry. That's not what Rumi said. That's what I say. When I believe... Yeah. But Rumi says, when everything that is made beautiful and fair and lovely is made for the eye of the one who sees. Yeah. Everything that is made beautiful and fair and lovely is made for the eye of the one who sees. And isn't it true, like when we're really connected to God, when we're really in line with truth, that everything gets more beautiful? There seems to be more joy, more love, more communion. And the same is true when it's not, right? When in separation, I believe when I'm all alone, when I believe something's outside of me, that there's something has power over me, then I have separated myself from God and others. And that's not a place I want to live. How about you? Yeah, that's that place of thinking I'm trusting in myself instead of God. So we also talked about God being all about relationships. So there's three subarenas that we have relationships with. We have relationships with others, relationships with life, and relationships with self. And that's where we can sort of look to see where life circumstances are showing up. Maybe not so much to our liking, and maybe so. So there's always an opportunity to work this great work in principle and look to see where our storms are brewing. And so it's a good idea to know sort of where those conditions might lie and sort of understand, am I in separation? Am I in a misperception? Am I in this idea of being defensive? And if I'm in those arenas, then more than likely, I am in the way of God. Remember last week we said, I'm either the way of God or I'm in the way of God, right? So depending on my perspective and how I'm viewing the world is how I am an instrument for God. So we also talked about making stuff up, which is our favorite little pastime. And but to remember when we're upset or disheartened is to ask that question, what am I making this mean? What am I making this life situation mean? So there's a story about a big, tough samurai. And the samurai once went to see a little monk, and he said, Monk, I want to learn about heaven and hell. Teach me. The monk looked up at this mighty warrior and replied with utter disdain, Teach you about heaven and hell? I couldn't teach you about anything. You're dirty. You smell. Your blade is rusty. You're a disgrace, an embarrassment to the samurai class. Get out of my sight. I can't stand you. Well, the samurai was furious. He shook and he got all red in the face and he was speechless with rage. He pulled out his sword and he raised it above him, and just as he was about to slay the monk said, That is hell. That is hell. That is our state of consciousness in which we have separated from God and others. So the samurai was overwhelmed with compassion and surrendered, the surrendered state that this little monk had put himself in to teach him about heaven and hell. So he slowly lowered his sword with deep gratitude in his eyes to the monk. And the monk said, And that is heaven. When we come back, open the heart to let go of what we are making that mean. Jesus came to teach us these high teachings. It's not an easy road you and I have said yes to, this awakening. I know I have to say, when I got into ministry, I truly thought, because I said yes to God, and the closer I got to ordination, that life would just be, you know, skippity-doo-da-day, right? Because, you know, I'm wearing the high holy robe, I've got, you know, the right things to say, and all the crooked places would be made straight, and all the people that came into my life would be happy, holy, and healthy. Not quite. So as you have found as well, the more awake we become, or the more into this work, is more things show up that we get to work with. It's just not this skippy-doo-da day. And we would probably get bored out of our minds if it became that simple. Although I would love a really boring day every now and then. Yeah. I really would. So the teachings that we're here are really for the spiritual warrior. And so Jesus came to teach us in Matthew. He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You don't you go, really? That's the assignment? Can I check in with somebody else? Right? So Jesus is talking about love what seems like an enemy. Because everybody in Unity that I talk to about enemy, they all say, "Oh, I don't have any enemies." So this is just what seems like an enemy, or what seems like, or someone might be against you. So, but love means to accept, embrace, and value. Think of this person as a mirror for you, sort of showing up to show you the places within you that are not connected to your wholeness. That they're there to show us where we're disconnected. So, you know, then we could just bow to our teachers, right? Thank you for showing me where I'm disconnected. Because if we are connected, we will not feel intimidated or threatened. Right, Mario? That's right. So I think I told some of you the story of the green frog, right? So, yeah. So some of you are at the workshop, but those that weren't, I'll talk to these people over here. So it's like somebody would call me a green frog. "Denise, I think you're a green frog." And so my response would be curious and confused and bewildered, right? But I wouldn't be upset or angry at them. I would just take that in, and I probably would say, "So tell me more about why you think I'm a green frog." But if they were to say, "I think you're the worst minister I've ever met," well, now I'm sort of upset, and I'm not liking what I'm hearing. And I might even begin to defend myself and maybe make up stories about you. Right? Oh, yeah? Right? And then there it goes. So part of it is sort of getting, if I can stay connected to who and what I am, then I can respond to whatever's in front of me just as curious. So if I get triggered, we talked about this at the 8 o'clock, is to just, you know, touch the center of my heart and take a breath and just, you know, I'm a child of God, and I'm a green frog. It's a good thing to remember, because really all I'm doing is, am I identifying with a role, right? And somehow they have identified with this role as well, or disidentified with it. But really, they just have a perception of me, and that's all it is. And to them, it's right. And so I just want to become curious as to what that might be. So I could say, "So tell me more," instead of defending myself. And how dare you? And who do you think you are? You know, those kinds of things. So when I did do that, and I heard that word, and is that I heard that what she was upset about was that she called the office, and her mother was dying, and she wanted me to come to the hospital. And when I didn't show up, she was very upset. She assumed I got that message. And I didn't get that message. So she was very upset and hurt. And so what I was able to do, though, was instead of defending myself, was to say, tell me more. She told me why. And then I gave her empathy. I said, so I'm imagining that you were pretty afraid and upset and really wanting someone to be there to support you in this time with your mom. And that was really hard for you to do that all by yourself. Is that right? Yeah. So the empathy, now her heart's open, right? So now we can connect more. Now we have a conversation going. Now there's more understanding. And so I said, well, would you like to hear what happened? Yes. Well, I didn't get that message. And I'm so sorry. Right? So instead of just immediately, when she says, you're the worst minister I've ever heard, well, how dare you? Why would you say, you know, such a thing? And then just offending myself. I didn't get the message. Why would you say that? Right? It's just to drop into the heart and see what might be happening to the other side. So love what seems like an enemy. Step two is to bless what you would rather curse. Bless what you would rather curse. So to bless means to endow something or someone with the capacity to be a positive force in your life. Look for the good. Sort of like Joseph and his brothers, you know, in the Bible, the Joseph with the multicolored coat, and brothers were so jealous of him. His father loved him more than others, and he had this great coat, and of course we're going to kill him, right? So they're too chicken to kill him, so they sell him off to slavery. And he, you know, has prophetic dreams and just continues to thrive, and they're so upset about this. But he does eventually come back, and instead of cursing them, he blesses them. And he gives them the beautiful blessing of, you know, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And that's how we can approach whatever it seems that's against us, is, you know, how can I use this life situation to express more of my God self? How can I use this? Because God means this for good. How can I express that blessing in the world? Even though you sort of didn't do the right thing, I don't want to stoop that low. I don't want to play in that arena. I'm choosing a different path. And so I'm going to bless you rather than curse you. Not easy stuff, right? Right. Not easy stuff. And so step three is do good, take authentic action, and avoid the impulse to disconnect or do harm. So there's a sweet story about two brothers who shared these adjoining farms. And so for 40 years, they worked side by side, sharing their farm equipment, sharing and helping each other out. And one day, a rift sort of developed, and it began with a small misunderstanding. And it grew into a major difference. And finally, it sort of exploded into an exchange of bitter words, followed by months of angry silence. So one day, the oldest brother, Pete, was out on the fields when a ute pulled up, and out jumped a man who approached Pete carrying a carpenter's toolbox. And he says, I'm looking for a few days of work. Perhaps you would have a few small jobs I could do for you. So Peter says, yes, yes, I do. See that creek down there? Well, it's the border between my brother's farm and mine. And my brother keeps it nice and deep to stop me from setting foot on his beloved farm. Well, I'm going to oblige him. I want you to take that timber over there and build me a new fence, a really tall fence, so I don't have to look over my stinking brother's face and see him anymore. Well, the carpenter was glad to have the work, so no worries, mate, he says. I understand. Just point me to the post hole digger and I'll get the job done. So the carpenter set about working, and meanwhile, the farmer, Pete, drove into town to go to an auction. When he returned, he was shocked to see what the carpenter had done. There was no fence. Instead, the carpenter had built a bridge. And walking across it was his younger brother. He held out his hand to his brother. He said, Pete, after all I've done to you these past few weeks, I can't believe you still reach out to me. You're so right. It's time we buried the hatchet. And so the two brothers met at the middle of the bridge and embraced. They turned to the carpenter, who hoisted his toolbox on his shoulder and said, "No, wait, stay a few more days. I've got a lot more projects for you." "Well," the carpenter says, "I'd love to, but I have more bridges to build." And of course, that is our way shower, building bridges. And that's what we are, yes? Building bridges of faith, of hope, of peace, of understanding. That's who we've come here to be. Not separation, not miscommunication, not competition, not making others wrong, but building bridges of understanding. And the fourth step is to pray, forgive, and release. Prayer means becoming connected and centered to our divine nature, fully aware of our one presence and one power. So it's imperative that we pray, yes? Yes, every day, to reconnect to Source, to reconnect to these truths, to remember who it is that we are. There's a story I want to end with in the book that he talks about this Taekwondo, Gary did. He was a teacher in Taekwondo. And he would bring his students at the end of their teachings each year. And once they received their black belt, they would do a ceremony. And in the ceremony, they asked each one what the black belt symbolized for them. So the teacher said, "You know, the black belt has no power of its own. It cannot protect you or help you get good grades in school. So what does it symbolize?" So Scott, this 9-year-old student, said, "Before I became a black belt, if someone pushed me around, I either ran away or I had to fight because I was afraid. Now that I'm a black belt, if someone wants to fight, I can walk away." There is the discovery. You know, discover the black belt within. That we don't have to push away those that we fear. That we can rise above. That we can be come from a centered place, a confidence place, where choices are. That we could choose differently. And so this young boy discovered that his true strength was rooted in defenselessness, and that he could walk away from a fight because fighting was rooted in fear and not the truth of who he was. So our journey of awakening is also about discovering the black belt within. Yes? Yes. So let us pray. Beloved Presence, we give thanks for these teachings. We give thanks for each soul here who is here to awaken to their divine nature. We give thanks for each one that says yes to this incarnation, this spiritual warrior that is here to be the voice for truth, to be a presence for peace. And so we thank you, Spirit, for endowing us with all of the gifts necessary in order to manifest heaven here on earth. that we are your voice, we are your hands, we are your love. And we say yes to this journey of awakening. And for that we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Great. Thank you very much. God bless you.